you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! All right. It's I Want a New Drug. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I ain't afraid of no drugs.
It's Ghostbusters. Ray Parker Jr., again, sued by Huey Lewis in the news because he blatantly ripped off I Want a New Drug.
I think this one's better.
Don't even say that. Do not.
It's a little more, it's got a little more
to
it.
Do not disparage anything that Huey Lewis has ever done.
No, thank you.
Huey Lewis rules.
Now, my first boyfriend loved Huey Lewis in the news.
Well, your first boyfriend is smart.
No, he's not.
Huey Lewis rules.
We were like 16.
Yeah, I'm 50.
He was into Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah, as he should be. Come on. Huey Lewis did the did two songs for Back to the Future. He's in it right there. That gives him a lifelong pass to do whatever he wants in life.
That's it.
Hi, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. The reason why we played Ghostbusters is because that's one of the videos from the 80s that is loaded with movie stars. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump in. What were your favorite crazy music videos? Now, I'm going to specifically start off the topic with these specific movie star-filled videos from the 80s, but I'm going to open it up in general to, like, your favorite videos and videos that you watched, you know, in the prime of MTV when it was popular. What were some of your favorite, most memorable videos and some of the weirdest or funniest? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Now, Vic, I noticed that you were, like, bopping your head a little bit to the Ghostbusters. Now, did you know that Huey Lewis sued him?
I was kind of surprised when you said that. I didn't know that, but
do you know what the story is?
Well, I started running through in my mind that song by Huey Lewis. It sounds
It's exactly the same song. And you know what? This is the actual true story of it. The producers of Ghostbusters, I don't know which ones, but people who were involved in the production from Columbia Pictures of Ghostbusters brought Ray Parker Jr. in to the offices and said, hey, look, we're making this movie called Ghostbusters. We want you to do the theme. And we want it to sound something like this. And they played I Want a New Drug.
Oh, so he just wrote new words.
That's exactly what he did.
Wow.
And Huey Lewis got a few mil for it.
Nice.
Now, have you guys ever seen... Now, I know that Esmeralda has seen Key and Peele, and I know that Dan has as well. Vic, you ever watch Key and Peele?
Man, a couple years ago, somebody turned me on to them and... They're hilarious.
They're unbelievable. And, of course, Keanu comes out at the end of the month, which is going to be the greatest film ever in the history of motion pictures, arts, and sciences. But anyway, there is a fantastic bit that they did where Jordan Peele is playing Ray Parker Jr., and it's a commercial, like an infomercial, for other songs from movies that he recorded. And the name of the album is, like, Does Not Include Ghostbusters. But he's like, he does like the theme song for Lawnmower Man, and he does like, I can't remember, it's unbelievably funny, and it's him as Ray Parker Jr. recording the songs in a studio for really inappropriate movies, like movies that would never ever have a theme song.
Right.
It's very, very funny. But yeah, so that video was like really star studded. Now, did you have any, Vic, did you watch, years ago, MTV?
MTV was huge. I mean, if you grew up in the 80s, early 90s, it was huge. Much bigger, I think, than it is today for kids. But this is kind of a cop-out, but it's the only one that comes to mind.
Uh-huh.
Chevy Chase was in it, and it was a Paul Simon song, and I think it was...
You can call me Al.
Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind for me.
Yep, that's a great video.
I thought of a lot, oddly enough, that have model cameos, but I couldn't think of actor cameos.
Well,
I mean... We know what Vic was doing.
Exactly. Okay, Vic.
Oh, yeah.
So then Freedom 90 must be your favorite song of all time. Must be your favorite video of all time.
It's up there.
What's the matter, Esmeralda?
I'm just thinking all the videos I can think of are 90s.
All 90s?
Sadly enough.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. You guys are a little bit younger than I am. The thing is that Freedom video, Freedom 90, the George Michael video, that's all models lip syncing.
Yeah. I also got excited because I'm like, yeah, that's right. That one.
That one. That's a great, well, a
that
song.
That is a great video.
That song rules, too. And the video is great. And it's all supermodels. Now, Esmeralda, did you think of anything like off the top of your head?
Not 80s.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, the only one I could think of was the We Are the World
Well, that's 80s.
Because, like, everyone's in there.
Yeah, I remember seeing the video for that, or, you know, like oh, they're going to record it. They recorded it after the Grammys.
Also, is that the one where, I forget which one, if it's that one or the other big star-studded music video they did, where Dan Aykroyd's just in the back.
Yeah, that's,
like,
that's
what's
we
going
are the,
on?
That's
what's,
We Are the World.
Who invited him?
That's right. That's We Are the World. And you see all these musicians, you know. And then there's Dan Aykroyd.
Nerdy Dan Aykroyd.
But, you know, the thing is, like, a lot of people are like, well, he was in the Blues Brothers.
Not, was he at that? Well, yeah, but
oh,
he
yeah.
wasn't.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. The Blues Brothers started in the 70s.
See, but if he was going to do that, he should have at least wore a hat.
He should have been dressed like Elwood.
Yeah, at least.
You know?
At least some sunglasses.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, I remember seeing that, too, and going, what the hell is Dan Aykroyd doing there?
I'm assuming he just saw all the celebrities going in, and he saw the door open, and
like,
he just walked in.
I'm going to go in. They'll find room for me.
And they couldn't say no to him because they didn't want to be mean to him?
You can't say no to Dan Aykroyd.
They're like, Dan Aykroyd's
because
here.
He will eat you.
With his ghost things?
I don't know. Here's what they say about the Ghostbusters video, which is one of the movie star-filled videos of the 80s. 312-981-7200. We're talking music videos, and I'm going to start off with movie star-filled videos of the 80s, and then we can just move on to whatever videos pop into your head. Ray Parker Jr. was not particularly interested in writing or performing the theme song for Ghostbusters. His forte was songs about romance, not the paranormal. You remember what one of Ray Parker Jr.'s other hits was?
Nope.
I'm in love, I'm in love with the other woman. You don't remember I'm in love with the other woman?
No.
Really?
He's Ray Parker Jr.
You don't remember I'm in love with the other woman? Ba-na-na, ba-ba-ba-na. Come on. Ray Parker Jr., man.
I think that's the only time anyone in the history of everything has anyone went, Ray Parker Jr., man.
I don't think anybody ever said Ray Parker Jr., man, even with Ghostbusters. She did it to me. I slept and fell in love. I'm in love. I'm in love. With the other woman. My life is fine. Yes, it was. Till she blew me. You guys don't remember? Dan is laughing. Dan, do you remember I'm in love with the other woman?
No.
It's pretty good, though. I don't. This is.
Have we never played this on Fly Jams Friday?
No, I don't know.
I can't believe I never requested I'm in love with the other woman.
Can I also say kind of along the lines of Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
He has a wheelhouse he stays in.
Yeah, certainly. It's a small one, too. I'm trying to think if he had another hit. The only one that, I mean, it was that. I think he had one more hit, and then obviously Ghostbusters was the biggest hit he ever had that Huey Lewis wrote for him. But here's what I said. So he suggested to Ivan Reitman that he didn't want to appear in the video, so he suggested that he get some of the guys from the movie to appear in the video and just shout out Ghostbusters. And the audience would understand that the clip was supposed to be humorous.
And a whole lot of neon.
Yeah. Well, it was 1984. Reitman liked the idea, ran with it, popping a cassette of the tune into a boombox. Wow. Yeah, 1984, baby. He popped a cassette into a boombox. Because, you know, people do that very often nowadays. Remember when guys would walk down the street carrying a 65-pound boombox, blasting it? No, you guys don't remember. I do. You guys watch Do the Right Thing and go, what's this guy? Who's Radio Raheem? How is that a real dude?
We had you know,
boom
boxes, but they were smaller.
No, man.
They
were dudes.
Smaller.
No, every year in the 80s, they got bigger.
And then they got smaller.
Then they got smaller. But it was from 78 on, it started to get really big. By 1987, boom boxes were the size of Chevys. People were carrying them, blasting stuff. And then they started getting smaller. Reitman liked the idea, so he got a boombox, and he started calling on various industry friends or actors who happened to be working by. John Candy was on the set of Brewster's Millions, one of Richard Pryor's. Oh, God, you know who directed that? Walter Hill directed that movie, the director of 48 Hours, The Warriors, and Southern Comfort. He directed Brewster's Millions, the wacky John Candy, Richard Pryor comedy. That's another one of my favorite Dave Kerr quotes. This is a way inside one, only for movie like for movie geeks who know directors. But it was so Brewster's Millions was so uncharacteristic of Walter Hill. Walter Hill is one of these master action filmmakers. I mean, the guy directed The Warriors. He directed The Driver. He directed Hard Times with Charles Bronson, 48 Hours, Southern Comfort, Streets of Fire. I mean, this guy is like one of the greatest action genre filmmakers of all time. And he, here's the thing, in the mid-80s, he makes this ridiculous John Candy, Richard Pryor movie, where Richard Pryor, by the way, wears like a Cubs hat and a Cubs jersey through the whole damn thing. Have you ever heard of Brewster's Millions?
I've heard. Wait, is it the one? Oh, no, that's.
He inherits a bunch of money, but he has to spend it all. Like,
oh,
in,
right.
Like,
yes.
2 days or something.
Yes, I've heard of it. Yeah.
It is a ridiculous movie that unbelievably was directed by Walter Hill. I don't know how that happened. And I've just rattled off a bunch of the kind of movies that Walter Hill directs. They're not wacky comedies with John Candy and Richard Pryor. So Dave Kerr, who I still think is the best film critic in the country, he writes for the New York Times now. In the Chicago Reader, he used to write for the Reader back in the 80s and then went on to write as the head film critic here at the Trib for many years before he moved to New York. Anyway, Dave is like my idol as far as film criticism goes. I think he's the best film critic in the world. Anyway, he wrote, and this is very inside. There's going to be two people who are listening right now who will laugh at this. But his review for Brewster's Millions says, well, apparently Walter Hill woke up and said that his driver's license said Arthur Hiller. Now, you guys don't get that because you don't know who Arthur Hiller is. But Arthur Hiller is a director who should make Brewster's Millions. He's a guy who's directed a lot of really crappy, stupid comedies and stupid genre movies. And his name sounds close enough to Walter Hill that it's a really funny joke. So film geeks would read that and go, ha, 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 while people who don't know Arthur Hiller would go, I don't understand that at all. That's not funny. So the fact that I just repeated the joke was kind of a waste of everybody's time. Except for me and two other people right now who went, Arthur Hiller, that's funny. Trust me, it's a very funny joke. I also would like to remind everybody of one of my favorite Dave Kerr quotes when he reviewed Logan's Run. I've mentioned this on the show. Dan, you know this. I've mentioned this on the show many times. Esmeralda, do you remember the movie Logan's Run?
I think I know what you're talking about, though.
The reference I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because it's a stupid movie. It's a futuristic movie that takes place in the 70s. Or, no, I'm sorry. It's a movie that was made in the 70s with Michael York. And if you turn 30, they chase you down and you get killed.
Right.
It's a big sci-fi movie, futuristic movie. And Dave Kerr's review, I'm paraphrasing, but Dave Kerr's review like opens with, maybe it's a terrible movie. And he rips the movie apart and he says, yeah, according to Logan's Run, the future looks exactly like Woodfield Mall. And it does. That's the thing about it. It's such a brilliant observation. If you watch Logan's Run, the whole damn thing looks like it takes place in Woodfield Mall, or at least the Woodfield Mall of the 70s. Anyway, so John Candy's in it. George Wendt is in Ghostbusters video. Other cameos. They did not get paid for their appearance, which got them into hot water with SAG, and then they began organizing the music video industry. And SAG, there you go. So they didn't pay him. I can't remember who else is in the Ghostbusters video besides the three guys. I'm Bill Murray and John Candy.
Blonde lady.
There's a blonde lady.
Yeah, I don't think she was anybody, though. She might have just been a model.
It's not Annie Potts. Annie Potts had black hair.
No.
It's not Sigourney Weaver.
I saw Terry Garr in there.
Terry Garr.
Oh, maybe that's who.
Might have been Carole King.
Carole King?
Yeah.
She
took
Carole
time from
King?
Writing songs.
Carole King. I don't remember Carole King being in the Ghostbusters video. That's fantastic. But I would imagine the stars are in it. Harold Ramis and, you know, Ernie Hudson, those guys. Rick Moranis. Rick Moranis, by the way, is, I think, the funniest thing in Ghostbusters. I think Rick Moranis is the funniest thing in Ghostbusters. I'm not like the hugest Ghostbusters fan. It's fine. You know, when it came out, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, it's no Stripes, but it's fine. okay, so that's our first music video loaded with movie stars. We've got more coming up here. 312-981-7200. Two for Tuesday, too, man. Yeah. But yeah, music videos from the 80s with movie stars in them, and whatever videos you want to talk about that stand out for you. We'll talk more about that. Carole King. I'm just thinking, like, if she's in the video going, who the hell wrote this song?
I'm sorry, it was Carly Simon.
Oh, Carly Simon. Okay, so now that I can understand more than Carole King. Although even that's a little weird to have Carly Simon in there. Morning, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking about movie starred videos of the 80s, and then we're just going to get into music videos and memorable ones that we used to watch on MTV. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And it's also two for Tuesday. The 314 area code requested some David Gilmour. David Gilmour of Pink Floyd played the United Center last night. And I'm assuming that the 314 area code either went or wanted to go. And thusly wanted to hear a little David Gilmour. Now, was this specific solo David Gilmour?
He just said David Gilmour and gave those two songs.
So I'm assuming they're going to be solo David Gilmour. That would be my guess. All right. So 312-981-7200. So now, Esmeralda, did you go back and watch the fantastic Ghostbusters video?
I started watching a little bit of it.
Now, how about this one?
So much neon.
Here's the next one. So much neon. Here's the next one, which we've talked about on the show before. We've talked about this one. Next one on the list of movie star-filled music videos from the 80s. When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going by Billy Ocean. We've talked about this one because it's from the sequel to Romancing the Stone, Jewel of the Nile. And it's got Kathleen Turner, Michael Douglas, and Danny DeVito like dressed up in like Temptation-like suits.
Oh, yeah.
Singing backup to Billy Ocean. And here's the little story behind it. The Jewel of the Nile producer Michael Douglas was savvy enough to have kept his eye on MTV and the previous videos that helped promote his films, particularly Eddie Grant's Romancing the Stone from the first movie, Romancing the Stone. And thus was the driving force behind the video accompanying Billy Ocean's When the Going Gets Tough. Douglas enlisted Jewel of the Nile co-stars Kathleen Turner and Danny DeVito to perform as a doo-wop type of backup group. The trio of actors had 3 hours of rehearsal to learn their Temptation-style moves, and they actually sang along on the track as it played, rather than simply lip-syncing. Douglas told People magazine in 1986, "We were singing our asses off. You begin to believe in yourself until they turn the sound off and you're croaking." So that... that's another one of those. That, and most, by the way, I believe every one of these videos, with the exception of, no, I think all of them are, yeah, they're all from soundtracks of movies, which explains why there are so many movie stars in them. All right, here's Ike in Country Club Hills. Hey, Ike.
Hey, Nick, how's it going with
you? All right.
I have two videos I remember. I remember back in the 90s, it was this, I remember this video was very creepy. It was that Tom Petty video with Kim Basinger, Last Dance with Mary Jane.
Yeah, because she was dead, and he was kind of digging on the fact that she was dead.
Yeah, at the end, he puts her in the water, and this scared me. She opens her eyes.
Yeah.
That used to scare me.
Yeah, Kim Basinger was in that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, absolutely. And the one I remember when I was a kid back in the 80s, it was from that movie, The Running Scare. It was Sweet Freedom.
Shine, Sweet Freedom, yes.
Yeah, and Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal, they played their characters going after Michael McDonald.
Right.
Yeah, I enjoyed that video.
Yep, that one's on the list, by the way.
Oh, cool,
yeah.
Cool.
All right, thanks, Ike.
No problem.
Take care. Yeah, since he mentioned it, Sweet Freedom, Michael McDonald. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my fantastic Michael McDonald imitation, by the way.
It's pretty good.
It's good, right? Well, we'll do more of it because we have to talk about that some more. Okay, music videos and all kinds of crazy stuff. 312-981-7200. News is next. It's not all solo David Gilmour then. Okay. It's actually one of my favorite Floyd songs. Yeah, man, Floyd, get out the weed. Two for Tuesday, David Gilmour, 314 area code. In fact, the guy who requested this is our next caller here, Kevin. Kevin, you were at the show last night.
Yes, I did go to the show. Drove up from St. Louis, believe it or not. And I'm driving on my way back now, back to St. Louis. That's how diehard I am.
Wow. How was it?
It was Sublime, Nirvana. It was just, I mean, Gilmore, you know, obviously I think he's one of the greatest progressive rock guitarists of all time, but I think he's one of the greatest guitarists, period, of all time.
I agree with you 100%. I think he's one of the best rock guitarists ever. And in my opinion, in my humble opinion, the greatest guitar solo ever recorded on an album is his solo for Comfortably Numb.
Yeah, and that's what he closes the show out with. Yep. And
it's the best. It's the best guitar solo that the best studio guitar solo I've ever heard in on a record ever in my life.
Yeah, it's a solo tour, but he's got a huge band with him, a lot of guys who have played with him for many years, and he's doing mostly Floyd material, but he has a new album out called Rattle That Lock, and so he did almost that whole album also. So he's mixing it in with a lot of Floyd stuff, including Shine On Your Crazy Diamond and High Hopes, Sorrow, a lot of good stuff. I mean, it's just fantastic, and he's only playing in three cities in the United States, Chicago, L.A., and New York, and he's playing like three shows in each city, and that's it. He's only playing 9 or 10 shows in the whole country.
Right.
And he's playing three in Chicago this week, Monday and Friday at the United Center, and Wednesday, I think, at the Chicago Auditorium or Chicago Theater. I can't remember which one it is.
Wow.
So he's, you know, three times in Chicago, and that requires people, I guess, live in St. Louis to drive up. So.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I've had the pleasure of seeing, I've seen Floyd, I saw the most memorable one was I saw the Animals tour in 70.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, at that Soldier Field, and it was unbelievable. I saw him for Momentary Lapse, but then I saw
that tour too.
Yeah, I saw it for that tour, and then, but I saw Gilmore solo, one of my favorite albums that Gilmore plays guitar on is
what's that?
Is White City, Pete Townsend's White City.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Oh, no. Dude, yeah, Kevin. Oh man, it's particularly the song "Give Blood." But yeah, I'm sure you know "Give Blood." If you heard it, you'd know it. Pete plays guitar on Pete Townsend's White City, and it's some of the best guitar work, studio work that Gilmore's ever done.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting too about this, you know, he's obviously older now. He's much more of a bluesy guitarist. It's almost a lot of those newer, his last two solo albums are bluesy and kind of slower and a little more melancholy, but
yeah,
very, very bluesy feeling. It's laid back almost.
He's got one of the most immediately distinctive, recognizable guitar sounds in rock. Like, you know, when you hear that, you go, oh, it's David Gilmour playing guitar.
Well, anyway, I appreciate you putting those Gilmore things up. I also had a suggestion on the video thing, since the topic was interesting as I'm driving home here.
Yeah.
And the most odd video that I remember from back in the 80s was the kind of a hard rock band called Rat. That
yes.
It was like a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
And Milton Berle was like the star of their video.
Here's the story. First of all, I love Rat. Rat rules. Milton Berle, I don't know the exact, Dan, maybe you can find it online, but I think it was something like Milton Berle's agent was like, or Milton Berle's nephew was Rat's agent. And that's why Milton Berle is he's in two of their videos, I think, two or three of their videos, Milton Berle is.
Yeah, I just remember that one that was kind of a hit.
Well, Round and Round is the most popular.
Right.
That's the most popular song that Rat had. And he's you know, like he's Uncle Milty, he's in drag because Milton Berle was in drag a lot. I know there was a connection. What, Dan, do you know? Did you find
His nephew, Marshall Berle, was their manager.
That's right. That's what I thought. Yeah, Milton Berle's nephew was their manager. So they put Milton Berle in an 80s hair metal video.
That was kind of the oddest one that I could think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's a good one. All right, Kevin, be safe.
One more. Yeah. Benny Hill, I think, was in a Genesis video or a Phil Collins video, one or the other.
Genesis, I think. Benny Hill was in a Genesis video like in 84, 85, I think. Yeah, I think you're right. All right, Kevin, safe home, okay, buddy?
All right, thank you.
Take care. He's driving home from Chicago back to St. Louis after seeing David Gilmour. All right. How about this? Here's a little Ray Parker Jr. fact that you might not have known. A couple of facts here about Ray Parker Jr., Esmeralda.
You're, I'm on the edge of my
I'm
seat.
I'm telling you, not only did he have a smash hit with I'm in Love with the Other Woman, which was a smash hit in my mind, Ray Parker Jr. also sang A Woman Needs Love. That was another one of his smash hits that busted up the charts. And then here, this is an even bigger. This is the one I find most impressive of anything Ray Parker's done in his career. This next fact that I am about to share with you, Esmeralda.
Okay.
I believe is by far the most impressive. Are you ready?
Yes.
He produced Mr. Telephone Man by New Edition.
That is awesome.
That's the greatest thing, Ray Parker Jr. It's his greatest contribution to music.
I love that song.
Me too. Did we ever play Mr. Telephone Man on Fly? I don't think we ever played that on Fly Jazz Friday.
I mean,
No, it's Fly. Oh, no, don't question the flyness.
I just think it's a little too, I don't know, because I feel like it's a little too slow.
That's
for
Fly.
A Friday.
Wait a minute.
Jam.
Now, I played, I requested at least twice a New Edition, my favorite New Edition song of all time.
I mean, I like Candy Girl.
Candy Girl's awesome.
If you do Candy Girl, that would be a little
I think
more,
we did Candy Girl. I think we did Candy. We definitely did Candy. I don't know if we ever did Mr. Telephone. Here we go. Yeah. She's hanging up on you, dude. There's nothing wrong with your phone, man. She's hanging up on you. That song rules. That's a Fly jam.
No, it's great. I don't know. I feel it's a little too down tempo.
My favorite new edition song we've played on Fly Jams Friday. That's Can You Stand the Rain? Can You Stand the Rain is the greatest new edition song of all time, and that's a total Fly slow ballad. You know Can You Stand the Rain?
I do not.
What? 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 You? Oh, my God. Esmeralda.
I got nothing.
Can You Stand the Rain by New Edition? Come on. Oh, it's so.
You should sing it a little.
I'm not going to. I can't do it justice. Actually, normally when I do sing the songs, I do them better than the actual artists. I know we know that. You know, I can't believe you don't know Can You Stand the Rain. Oh, man. All right. Pat says one of the classic videos of all time is Dire Straits' Money for Nothing. Yes, it is. And you remember when that was like groundbreaking animation? The video for Money for Nothing. Wow, that's really cool animation. You know, and then Toy Story came out and everybody went, what the hell was that stupid computer animation with the Money for Nothing? What was that? Carrie says, Eddie Murphy and Rick James, My Girl Wants to Party All the Time, is my favorite bad video of the 80s. That video is hilarious.
That is so good. Rick James looks like a Cocker Spaniel.
Well, yeah, he does. He totally looks like a Cocker Spaniel. And here's the thing. It's Rick James produced it and co-wrote the song. All right. And the video is them recording it in a studio. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it's like Eddie Murphy, you know, My girl wants to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. He's singing, and Rick James is on the other side of the glass producing. And at one point, he's so excited at how Eddie Murphy is performing. It looks like he's having an orgasm. He's so like, he goes, oh, he's like starts shaking. His hands are trembling. He's like, it looks like his head's going to explode. Like he's in this incredible orgasmic moment. Because Eddie Murphy is singing so well. It's like, oh, man, he can't take it. And he can't take it. He gets to the point where he can't take it anymore. And he has to run in and grab a guitar and push Eddie Murphy out of the way and start playing. That's how much he can't take it. It's that the song becomes so incredibly orgasmic and awesome and off the charts that he's like, the hell with it. I'm pushing Eddie Murphy out of the way. I'm getting in there and I'm going to play guitar and sing on this song.
That song is amazing, though. I would do that too. Just run and get out of the way, Eddie Murphy.
But that moment of him, of that shot it's one of my favorite moments, one of my favorite visual moments in video history is that shot of Rick James looking like he's having an orgasm because Eddie Murphy is performing so well. Like they cut to him, he's like, oh, he's shaking his hand. It is absolutely hysterical. And then that's it. Like, after he has the orgasm, he runs into the other room and pushes him out of the way with the guitar. Like, I can't take it anymore. That was the most sublime moment in the history of music. It's so insane. It's so completely insane.
But then I'm watching this. Eddie Murphy is so serious.
Oh, no, 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 no. He was serious about that. That was like...
Everyone's jamming and having a good time, and he's like, into it.
Yeah, because he's
Eddie, dancing, you know, but yeah, straight-faced.
Oh, no, 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 no. I remember when that album came out, you know, people were like, that's hilarious, Eddie Murphy. But no, it's not, man. It's my life. Don't be making jokes. Now, when you get to the part where James looks like he...
I'm scrolling.
He's like, oh! It's like, it's unbelievable. It's like he's looking at.
Oh,
Eddie
wait,
Murphy.
I see.
You see what I'm talking about? You see that?
They cut away because I think they knew.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's not. You couldn't show that on primetime MTV.
That's indecent.
What was happening in his pants? You couldn't show that. But yeah, that's It's like he's looking at Eddie Murphy, and he can't believe how unbelievably great Eddie Murphy's performance is. And then the next thing you know, he's pushing Eddie Murphy out of the way with his guitar. My friends and I, you know, that song is ridiculous. But my friends and I would watch that video every single time it came on. And at that moment, and then leading to the moment where he shoves Eddie Murphy out of the way, we would just be on the floor laughing. It is incredibly hilarious. All right, we got a break. Coming up, St. Elmo's Fire. Man in Motion from the movie St. Elmo's Fire is on this list. One of the worst songs in the history of anything. From one of the worst movies in the history of anything. Yeah. Morning, everybody. It is two for Tuesday. Tuesday, two for... And Jay requested the Go-Go's. We'll hear a twofer from the Go-Go's. I love the Go-Go's.
They're so good.
They're the best. I saw them, first time I ever saw them, they opened for the Police. And they were great. They opened for the Police on the Ghost in the Machine tour. And I ended up seeing them three times on that tour. I saw the Police a lot. I don't mean the guys that arrested me several times. Wait a minute. Well, hold on a second. What the hell? All right, before the break, I mentioned that we were going to be talking. We were talking about some of these videos that have, like, movie stars in them. St. Elmo's Fire is seriously one of the worst movies ever. And the video is absolutely ridiculous. The video, David Foster, the record producer in charge of the soundtrack for the 1985 Brat Pack angst-filled film St. Elmo's Fire. Try to say that sentence about four times in a row. Approached British singer-songwriter John Parr. Now, do you remember John Parr's hit? His other hit?
No.
You don't? Dan, do you remember? John, not St. Elmo's Fire, Man in Motion, but the song that he had before that?
No, I can't say that I do.
It's called Naughty Naughty. And it's got, it's got a keyboard riff that is one of the most distinctively ridiculous 80s keyboard riffs ever. Doom, digga, digga, dunk. Doom, 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 digga, digga, dunk. It's ridiculous. Naughty, naughty!
He's got some crazy hair.
Oh, John Parr has hair.
He also kind of looks like he should be in Def Leppard.
Yeah, I guess.
Like one of those dudes. I think it's the hair.
But in the video for this St. Elmo's Fire, not the Naughty Naughty, which is just ridiculous. That video is ridiculous. Dan, you must have found it, because just watching about 2 seconds of the Naughty Naughty video with John Parr is enough to make you fall off your chair laughing. Some of these videos in the 80s, man, they're just hilarious. And people were like, that was, you know, back then, John Parr looked cool. Like, that was, yeah, man, that's cool. People walked around in the 80s looking like that. I mean, I looked like a complete moron in the 80s. I mean, I went through the whole deal. I had the rat tail. I had the spiky hair. I had a mullet. Because back then, Bono had a mullet, man. You know? It was like, hey, Bono's got one. I'm getting one. Yeah. I never did have John Parr's hair, because I think it's impossible to get John Parr hair.
You'd have to perm it, and then you would look like a poodle.
Which would be an acceptable look in 1985.
Of course. Well, John Parr has it.
John Parr, man. But in the video for St. Elmo's Fire, if you ever see this video, the people who are in the movie, the idiots that are in the movie, your Demi Moore, your Emilio Estevez, Andrew McCarthy, Judd Nelson, Ally Sheedy, Mayor Winningham, they're all in the video. And like they all look very, they're like on the video set. Or like they're outside of the bar where they hang out, because the bar is called St. Elmo's Bar in the movie where they hang out. Have you ever seen, have you ever seen St. Elmo's Fire?
You know, I haven't. I haven't really.
It's a horrible movie.
Never really dove into the Rat Pack or Brat Pack movies.
Yeah. Some of them are, well, Breakfast Club is a great
movie.
Yeah,
that's pretty much.
But, I mean, St. Elmo's Fire is terrible. It's a terrible movie. But you got to see this video, because like at one point, John Parr is singing the chorus or whatever the thing is. And he is like, he walks up to each one of them and consoles them by like looking into their eyes and singing. And they all look very sad. They're all like standing in a row. The entire cast, the stars of St. Elmo's Fire, are just kind of standing there looking very angsty and sad.
Are his eyes mesmerized?
And they're, yeah, oh, he's John Parr. No, it's his hair, I believe, they're mesmerized by. But he just comes up to each one of them and sings to them and changes their lives. It only takes like a half a verse of John Parr to change your life and make you feel better about being, you know, 20 and you know, confused. John Parr coming up and holding their hands and singing right to them. I remember Ally Sheedy looking the saddest. And then I think she looks the happiest after John Parr sings to her. Because her life is Ally Sheedy has completely changed thanks to John Parr and his poodle hair.
They're all staring out windows.
Oh, there's a lot of window staring. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no. Yeah, that video is astonishing. I mean, really, it is.
And I believe it's raining, but not raining.
Of course.
The windows are just wet.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. All right, next on this list is Spies Like Us by Paul McCartney, which is from the movie Spies Like Us, which is also the theme song to our Nick D show Spies, which we do on Friday morning. That's when you listen 24/7 whenever I'm mentioned or the show is mentioned on anybody else's show. Jot down the time and who said it and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. John Landis directed both the film and the music video for Spies Like Us. Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd traveled to London to be at the Abbey Road Studios with Paul McCartney. The UK refused to air the video until it re-edited to remove scenes of Chase playing the keyboard and Donna Dixon and Vanessa Angel singing backup because they were not members of the musicians union. Okay. That's a funny movie, by the way. Spies Like Us. It's funny. It's a funny damn movie. Here's Dwayne on WGN. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
One of my favorite videos, Fatboy Slim, Weapons of Choice, Christopher Walken was in it.
Yeah, it's just him dancing. It's just him dancing, right? The whole video.
Hey, he's dancing through a hotel. He's like dressed in a tuxedo, and he doesn't talk, but it is such a cool video.
Yeah.
Walken is kind of bizarre. So how he got into this video, I have no idea, but it's a great video.
Walken's in a few videos. He's been in a few. I know the Fatboy Slim is the most well known of the videos, but he's in. What's the name of that Madonna video where he's like her guardian angel, and she's like, he's floating over her, and she's like doing drugs and having sex with strangers and stuff. And I can't believe I'm blanking on the name of my future ex wife's song, Madonna. I love her. Anyway, it's a great video, if I remember correctly, David Fincher directed the video that I'm thinking of, where he plays like an angel and Madonna's, you know, doing drugs and having sex and stuff. Well, I'll figure it out. All right, we got a break here. The news is coming up next. More video talk, 312-981-7200. Thanks for the call, Dwayne. Yeah. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. That's where you text in 312-981-7200 to certain artists and And you'll hear two songs coming back from breaks. Jay requested the Go-Go's, so there you go. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 o'clock. I'm here every morning, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell follows me at 5, and then it's Steve Cochran at 6. I want to mention Lou Manfredini, special thing happening with Lou Manfredini. You can join Lou on Saturday, April 23rd, for a live broadcast of the Mr. Fix-It Show from By the Yard Outdoor Furniture in Vernon Hills. You can prep your outdoor space for spring by shopping the By the Yard showroom. It's filled with a huge selection of sustainable patio furniture and accessories. Enjoy breakfast treats, and you'll have the chance to win prizes during the broadcast, courtesy of By the Yard. Find more details at WGNradio.com/events. Be sure to join us at By the Yard at 900 South Milwaukee Avenue in Vernon Hills on April 23rd between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. Lou Manfredini live at By the Yard. Again, WGNradio.com/events for more information. Okay. Talking about music videos, and I've got some texts coming in. 708 area code says, I've got my mind set on you. George Harrison was an amazing video. And Rich from Brookfield says, Tears for Fears with the monkey walking in the library. There is indeed a monkey in the library. That's the song Head Over Heels, which is a great video and a great song. But I have to say, the use of that song, the way that that song is used, is topped in Donnie Darko. They use Head Over Heels in one of the opening sequences of Donnie Darko when everybody is arriving at school, and it's one of my favorite scenes in that whole movie. Steve from Plainfield, Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy had Robin Williams and Bill Irwin backing him up in the video. Yes, it did. Don says, Billy Idol's Rock the Cradle of Love, I was 13 and that girl made me feel funny. I understand exactly what you're saying, Don. She made me feel funny, too.
I think that made everyone feel funny.
Man. Wasn't it he was like a nerd dude and she came down to like...
Yeah, he was like,
and she knocks on the door.
Office guy.
Right. Jeez. But she like lives upstairs or something. And then she comes in and goes, hey, you got sugar or something?
She's looking for something.
She goes in the bathroom or something. And goes in the bedroom, starts rolling around. And then her like biker boyfriend shows up or something.
What? No, she just ruins the place.
Right, she turns on... And then she leaves? Does she just leave?
She just leaves.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She rips open all the pillows and...
Yeah.
Yeah, because she turns on Cradle of Love.
And can't take it.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Almost gets to the point of Rick James in the Eddie Murphy video.
Yeah, then she leaves.
She just leaves. Tim says, whatever happened to Molly Ringwald, speaking of the Brat Pack? Molly Ringwald tours the country singing. She played here. She played Space in Evanston. And she is now in some of the new Diet Coke commercials. You know those Diet Coke commercials now that have the 27 different colored bottles? Like, that seems to be the new thing that they're advertising. I don't drink Diet Coke, so I don't. But, like, it now comes in crazy collectible multicolored bottles. And Molly Ringwald is on one of those commercials. How about this? 815 area code says, remember Rocket by Herbie Hancock.
That's a good one.
It is, and it's all robots and stuff. And Herbie Hancock only appears on like a little television, weird little television screen. The rest of it is like automated robot stuff and boots and stuff walking up and just like a pair of boots walking, and then like a bird head smacking around or something, and doors opening. Yeah, and back in 1983, that was like, oh, man, that's the coolest video I've ever seen in my life, man. Tom from Norwood Park says, I love Girls on Film by Duran Duran. All Duran Duran videos are good. All of them.
Yeah, they are.
They're all good.
I concur.
I love, my favorite is Rio, where they're on the yacht.
I think Hungry Like the Wolf.
Hungry Like the Wolf rules. I can't argue with you on any of the Duran Duran videos. Duran Duran rules.
What do you think about that song they had in the 90s?
That song, Ordinary
that
World?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
That's good, too. Yeah.
That album rules. Ordinary World, Come Undone. That whole album is good. That was like a big comeback album for them. You know who favorite band? whose favorite band Duran Duran was?
Hey, Listen.
Hey, Listen. He loved Duran Duran and Depeche Mode were like his two favorite bands of all time. Let me explain something to you about Duran Duran. That's the future of music, pal. He told me that in 1982. Like when he first heard Duran Duran, it was like early 1982. We were still like in high school, and he's like, "Let me tell you something about Duran Duran. That's the music of the future, pal." I remember we went to go see Joe and me and a couple of other guys went to go see Duran Duran on their 1985 tour for Seven and the Ragged Tiger. That was the name of the album. And it had the reflex. It had the reflex on it. And you couldn't hear. I'm telling you, it was nothing but girls screaming. It was one of the loudest concerts I've ever seen. And I've seen Sabbath like 15 times. And I've seen Metallica like 10 times. And Duran Duran in 1985 at the Rosemont Horizon. It might still be the loudest concert I've ever seen in my life because they had to crank everything up in order to get over the audible screams from every single girl in the audience. It was like 18,000 girls and me and Joe and like two other guys.
There's some good-looking dudes, that Duran Duran.
Yeah, oh, they're all beautiful men. John Taylor is a beautiful man.
He still looks good.
Oh, my God, are you kidding? I'd marry John Taylor, and I'm straight. But, yeah, so we go see Duran Duran, and they're screaming the whole time, and it was a little annoying. I mean, I love Duran Duran, but we had really good seats, too. We were, like, in the 12th row, center. So we had good seats, but we walked out. I couldn't hear for 4 weeks. After the concert, I was like, wow. And I remember who opened. It was a local band who opened. Oh, my God. Dan, see if you can find the song Loved by You by The Kind. Okay? They were a local band. They were called The Kind. And they played The Whale and stuff like that. They were like a small local band. Like, the biggest club they ever played was The Whale. And for some reason, they were chosen to open. they were chosen to open for Duran Duran at the Rosemont Horizon. This is them. It's not very hard. It's not very hard. Yeah. So, I happen to love this song. Think it's great. And I love the album. I only had one album by them, by The Kind. And I saw them a few times, you know, and at bars and stuff. And then all of a sudden we go to Duran Duran. We had no idea who was opening. And they're like, ladies and gentlemen, The Kind. And I look at Joe and I'm like, what the hell? What? And they come out. Nobody knows. There's a bunch of 13-year-old girls. They're all like, what is this? They start booing them. I felt bad because, you know, a lot of times major acts, they'll pick out a local band or they'll have their people pick out a local band to open for them.
Right.
If they don't have an opening band that's touring with them, they'll just go to each city and have some band open up for them. I don't know who chose The Kind to open up for Duran Duran that night. They're good. They were a terrific band. The Kind was a terrific band, but that's not the right venue for them.
Yeah, I always feel bad for most bands.
They were not received well. They were not received well.
FYI, Duran Duran is coming to Ravinia July 8th and 9th.
Oh, please.
And there is a picture of them on their website. Yeah. They look great.
Oh, they look fantastic.
Except the one in the blonde one.
Nick Rhodes?
Yeah.
Don't be dissing on Nick Rhodes.
He's a little pulled and...
He was always the prettiest.
Well, he's not.
He was always the pretty. Well, he's the one who wore the most makeup, too.
Yeah, he's wearing a lot of makeup.
Oh, yeah, he always did. He was always the most feminine and pretty and wore the most makeup.
Everyone else looks, yeah, man, wow.
Yeah. No, they look good, man. You know, Simon Le Bon gets better looking with age. Like, he was not the, of all the guys, he was the least attractive, I thought.
No.
In their heyday, I think Simon Le Bon was the least attractive. Because Roger Taylor was a beautiful man. Nick Rhodes was beautiful.
Yeah, right, and he's still...
Oh, well, Andy... No, Andy Taylor was a little bit of a...
Andy Taylor's the... If you want a 1, 2, 3, 4...
Yeah. No, Andy Taylor... Because there were five guys in the original Duran Duran.
Well, there's four now.
I know. Andy Taylor's not with him. Andy Taylor's not with him anymore. So... Oh, man. Andy Taylor. I used to love Andy Taylor. he released an album called Thunder, a solo album, and it kicked ass. All right, we have to break here. We got more videos to talk about here. Danny says Safety Dance is a freaky video.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. Now, this is a Two for Tuesday artist, baby. Yeah.
They're probably playing it right now on the loop.
They probably are, man. Deep Purple. Scotty from South Bend, man, requesting some Purple. Yeah. Oh, God, I love Deep Purple. They rule.
My favorite song is the Godzilla song.
That's Blue Oyster Cult.
Is it?
Yes.
Go, Go Godzilla?
Yes.
Oh. Wait, do they do, oh, wait, do they do Space Truckin'?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
That's
like
Deep
that
Purple.
That's
they do
Deep
Space
Purple.
Truckin'.
Space
yeah.
Truckin'.
Yeah. Man, you have to love Deep Purple. They're the best. By the way, Richie Blackmore is in Deep Purple. Let's not get him
now
confused.
Now Blackman?
Let's not get him confused with the guy from Cameo or the guy who hosts The Daily Show.
Can they somehow get together?
No, not The Daily Show. The, yeah, the, is, no, it's The Nightly it's, Show. Yes. The Nightly Show, yeah.
They should do a super group.
They should. That, I would pay to see that. That I would pay to see. That would be like Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney in a band together. Right? And Portia de Rossi and whoever that the chick from the Sopranos is.
Drea
Di Matteo. They should be in a band together.
Then you can, and Amy Adams and Isla
Ilsa Fisher. Yeah, they should be in a band together. Get all the people that we confuse for one. That's something we should talk about one night, Dan. It's like celebrities that we get confused about. Because, I mean, I believe if we're going to do that segment, it should just be called Dermot Mulroney or Dylan McDermott. Because that's right there is the quintessential example of that. Right, we'll talk about that some other time because that's going to open up another can of words that we can't get into right now. I would like to mention, and then I want to get from you guys, your favorite video of all time, if you have like a favorite. Mine is my favorite video artist ever. Without question, is Madonna, and she's one of my favorite artists ever, and she's my future ex-wife, and I know everybody knows that. I've only been saying that now for 30 years, that she's my future ex-wife. And I love her videos. She is some of the best videos ever. I still can't believe I can't remember the name of the video where Christopher Walken is that angel of death. Bless you, Dan. While she's doing all kinds of... I think it's called Bad Girls.
Is that the one from the movie?
No, it's not from a movie. No. But anyway, my favorite Madonna video is also coincidentally from my favorite Madonna album, which is an unusual choice. A lot of Madonna fans think I'm nuts. My favorite Madonna album is Bedtime Stories. And my favorite Madonna video is Bedtime Story.
That is, I remember when MTV did a whole thing. This whole event where it was like a pajama party.
Yep.
And they did the release of the video.
Yep, I watched it.
So did I.
Well, the problem is you were a teenager and I was right. I was in my 20s.
Yeah, but that would have
no,
made
I
sense.
No, I wasn't. I was like in my...
She was probably around your age.
Yeah.
Just like,
I was like
hey,
in my...
Lady.
No, I think I was 30. It must have been, right, when that album came out? That was in the 90s. That album came out like in 90... When did Bedtime... Can you look that up? Bedtime Story, I want to say, come out like in 94, maybe? So I was either like 29 or 30 when that record came out, and I watched the whole damn pajama party. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, so did I. I probably shouldn't have
it
been
watching
94?
It. Was it 94? 94, yeah. Oh, I watched it. Watched the whole damn thing.
I was a kid. I probably shouldn't have been watching that.
Oh, please. Do you remember the video for Bedtime Story specifically?
Yeah.
It is a
was
real...
Was there a part where her eyes...
Yes, her mouth.
Her eyes and her... Yeah.
Oh, it's a freaky video. It's so cool. It's like really beautifully direct. The guy who directed it went on to direct movies. His name is Mark Romanek.
Oh, okay.
Mark Romanek went on to direct movies. He did 1 Hour Photo, which is one of Robin Williams' best performances. He also directed 2 episodes of Vinyl.
She's going to stop using words.
Oh, I love that song.
Because words are useless.
But I'm going to tell you something right now. That song rules. That whole album, My Baby's Got a Secret, rules? Come on!
That's
and
good.
Then the other song on there where she's like a dominatrix, what real shocking, but she's like a dominatrix and she's
right. Oh,
she's got a little like chihuahua, and she's I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Blank. Don't hang your. I didn't think I couldn't talk about sex. Ba-na, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. What
something
is the name of it, though?
Oops, I didn't think I couldn't talk about you. I'm not sorry, and I'm not sorry.
Right. I think it's I'm not sorry.
Human Nature.
Oh, there you go.
Human Nature. Oh, that song rules.
Yeah, she's got that little dog, and
she's got the little dog, mm-hmm. and she's sexy, and that's the other thing I love about Bedtime Story. Not only is it consistently, I think, her best album. Like a Prayer would be second, because Like a Prayer was the first album where she became like a real artist. I think Like a Prayer was the album where it's like, okay, I'm not just a pop princess. Like, I'm good. And I'm writing my own stuff, and I'm hiring really cool people, and I'm doing interesting stuff. Like a Prayer was a major step forward for her. I can't believe I'm doing like a complete analysis of Madonna right now, but I love her. But Bedtime Story, not only a really experimental record, full of great, really cool songs, great videos, but she never looked hotter than she did during that. The one time she had like a nose ring, and she was looking. Oh man, she was amazing.
Yeah, I think I could tell you most of the videos.
Oh, well, she did. And I mean, obviously, I'm stating, you know, this is obvious to state, but Madonna's one of the most important. If you're looking at music videos as an art form, she's one of the groundbreakers and one of the most important, you know.
Oh, for sure.
With Michael Jackson and her, you are like, yeah. Right, you know.
It was always a thing when you would watch her videos.
Yeah, no question. No question. Like Jimmy Castor, no question. All right. So what, do you have a favorite video, Esmeralda, before we break? Do you have one that like really stands out for you besides Eddie Murphy's I party like my, but she wants to party all the time?
Oh, like just in
the
world of music videos?
Yeah, is there anything
man.
I'm sure there are a lot
There's
of them.
There's a million of them.
You know which one?
Right now I can think of is the Michael Jackson ones. That's Scream.
Well, they're all, Scream is a great, that's
Scream
the one with him and, you know who directed that? Mark Romanek, ladies and gentlemen, Romanek.
I mean, he did good work.
Yeah, he did. And David Fincher, man. David Fincher was one of the greatest filmmakers working today. He cut his teeth on videos. He did a ton of videos. He did Express Yourself, another great Madonna video. All right, hang on, because we're getting all crazy now. Hold on. Before we break real quick, Dan, I got to throw this out there, and maybe somebody knows, because I can't remember. What is the video where the entire video is a dude running down the street in super slow motion on fire? Do you remember this video? Okay, just think about it.
Hold on.
Okay, just think about it. We got a break.
I can find it.
Okay, we got a break. But it's been driving me crazy because it's an insanely cool video. Super slow motion. It's just a dude running down the street on fire. We'll get it after the break, after the news. I've been mistreated. Yeah. Man, Scotty. Picking mistreated. Jams. Yeah, Scotty from South Bend on Two for Tuesday. Picking some purple. Mistreated, that's a jam. All right, Nick DiGilio here. We're talking videos, and we got on this topic because there's a really crazy article about some of the most star-studded, movie star-filled videos of the 80s, and if you want to check out that list and the stories behind it, it's on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. I did want to take this time, before we jump back into the talk about the videos and stuff, I am screening one of the greatest movies ever made tonight. And I'm not speaking in hyperbole. This is an opinion that is shared by many, 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 many people and organizations and film communities worldwide. I am hosting a screening tonight of Martin Scorsese's Raging Bull, which is widely considered one of the greatest American films ever made, featuring one of the best single performances of any actor of any time, and Robert De Niro as real-life boxer Jake LaMotta. He won the Academy Award for it in 1980 for Best Actor. The film, however, lost Best Picture to Ordinary People, which I, you know, in retrospect is insane, but I happen to love Ordinary People, so I'm not gonna go off too much. Now, Goodfellas losing to Dances with Wolves, that's ridiculous because Dances with Wolves is not good. But Ordinary People is actually a pretty great movie. But anyway, I'm screening Raging Bull. And it's one of my favorite movies. It's one of the greatest movies. It's the third. This is really, I think now there's a tie between the two directors that I've screened the most films of. And it's between Scorsese and and Robert Zemeckis, which is just unusual because I'm like one of the few people that consider Robert Zemeckis on the same level as a Martin Scorsese. I know that people think I might think I'm nuts, but you know. Anyway, so we're showing Raging Bull tonight in all its black and white glory on the big screen. If you've never seen it on the big screen, it's an amazing experience. One of my favorite scenes in the movie is kind of a throwaway scene. It involves Jake LaMotta wanting a steak. And let me just play a little bit of it. I can tell you this is one of the, from Raging Bull.
Is it done?
No, it's not done.
Don't overcook it. Overcook it's no good. It defeats its own purpose. What are you doing? I just said don't overcook it. You're overcooking it. Bring it over.
You want your steak?
Bring it over. Bring it over. It's like a piece of charcoal. Bring it over here.
You want your steak?
Yeah, right now.
Good. Here's your steak. Can't wait to be done.
No, I can't wait.
Good. Okay? Happy? Happy?
That's all I want. That's all I want.
Here, not more. There.
Pardon me about a steak, huh? You're
there you go. That's one of my favorite scenes in the movie, and it's just him going nuts because he thinks his wife has overcooked a steak. And a lot of the stuff that Scorsese and De Niro and Pesci and everybody, and a lot of the movies, there's a lot of improvisation. And a lot of the classic stuff in Raging Bull was created on the spot when they were shooting it, and that's one of them. When he says, it just kills me every time he says, hey, don't overcook it. If you overcook it, it defeats its own purpose, which is one of my favorite lines in the entire movie. It's a line that makes absolutely no sense. If you overcook it, it defeats its own purpose. Get it, bring it over. It's like a piece of charcoal. So anyway, the reason why we played that is because it's kind of one of the only scenes that we can actually play on the radio. Because this movie, like Scarface a few weeks ago when I hosted the screening of that last month, or 2 months ago, almost a month and a half, something like that, February, it has a pretty high quotient of F-bombs, Raging Bull. Mm-hmm. I think it's 118 F-bombs in Raging Bull. And Raging Bull is like almost an hour shorter than Scarface.
How many in Scarface?
272.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah,
100 less.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it's a remarkable piece of work, and I would love it if you guys can come out. It's only $10 to get in. Parking is free. You can have dinner at Bogart's, which is on the second floor of the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. They have a great menu, lots of great food. Show up around 6:30, 7 o'clock, have some dinner. I'll introduce the movie at 8 o'clock, and we'll talk about it afterwards. We do this once a month. It's usually the first Tuesday of each month. So tonight, please come on out and see one of the greatest American films ever made, Raging Bull. It's going to be a real treat to see this thing, 4K projection with the incredible digital sound and digital projection in a beautiful theater. And as you know, Esmerelle, you know, you have like love seats that you sit in with incredible legroom.
Right. No, they're huge.
Yeah. So, and the food is good. They're not having empanadas like they did the night you went.
No, that's okay. Is there steak?
Yeah, there'll be steak. And they're not going to overcook it because it'll defeat its own purpose. So, anyway, I'm really excited about this. This is a great film. And actually, next month in May is probably the one that I'm most excited about of any of the ones that I've been, and I've been doing this now for over 4 years. We're in our fifth year of doing the film club. And the one that we're doing, that I'm hosting next month, is the one that I'm absolutely, without question, of all the movies that we've done, including tonight's masterpiece, the one that I'm most looking forward to is Risky Business. Because Risky Business was my favorite movie from the day I saw it until Magnolia took over that spot. But it's my second favorite movie of all time. And, it's a movie that means a lot to me. So that's going to be in May, and I think we're going to do it on May 3rd. So that'll be on May 3rd. We're scooting around the date because of the Hawks playoffs. Oh, we don't want to interfere with the Hawks playoffs.
Right.
But it looks like it's going to be May 3rd, and that's Risky Business. But tonight, seriously, come on out. We've got seats available. You can reserve your seats at MovieCo.com, MUVICO. MovieCo.com, MUVICO. Go to the seating chart, pick out your seats. They'll be waiting for you tonight. Only $10. Parking is free. Real easy to get to. Come on out and see Raging Bull. If you've never seen it, it's an American masterpiece, and you should see it. It's a classic. And if you've never seen it on the big screen, it's going to be an amazing treat. So come on out. Martin Scorsese's Raging Bull with Robert De Niro. Tonight, starting at 8 o'clock at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont. Reserve your seats now at movieco.com. All right. We've got some people on the line who wanted to talk about some classic videos. And you did find out who that was.
Yes.
It was a band called Wax.
Yes.
And I don't remember them. I remember the song now.
Yes, called California.
California. That's the song. Smile is in blue. Someone should have warned you. They should have warned you. Could be now, I don't remember these guys. I would have never guessed who the band was. I kind of remembered that the song was called California.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I remember about any of it is the dude running down the street on fire. And that's the whole video. And you reminded me off the air, Spike Jonze directed it.
Right. Also, I think Beavis and Butthead watched it.
Yes, they did. Of course they did. And they went nuts. If I remember correctly, yeah. Like Beavis in particular, because Beavis enjoyed playing with fire. Fire! Fire! He was losing his mind during it. But yeah, Spike Jonze, who, you know, has gone on to incredible acclaim and fame as a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his last movie was incredible. Have you seen Her?
Yes.
Beautiful movie. And he directed a bunch of great videos. And, you know, another thing I love about Spike Jonze and all the people that will make fun of stupid humor and but praise, like, you know, oh, man, you know, that the Malkovich being John Malkovich is a masterpiece. And, you know, Spike mm-hmm. Jonze is a masterful filmmaker. Spike Jonze is responsible, completely responsible for the TV series Jackass. So anybody who makes fun of Jackass and then praises Spike Jonze as some sort of intellectual giant, he is responsible for Jackass existing. So God bless Spike Jonze. All right. Let me quickly go to Carrie real quick. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Nick. Yeah, hey. First of all, Wax, yeah, you're right. Beavis threatened to kill Butthead if he turned off the video. He says, I swear to God, if you turn this channel, I will kill you. When the guy's running down the street on fire, he's
right.
Like, fire. He's like, this sucks. I said, I swear to God, if you change the channel, I will kill you.
I miss Beavis and Butthead, man. I miss them
no,
so
I do
much.
Too.
Oh, my God. All right, what video? Real quick, Carrie.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I texted the Rick James thing to yeah. start it, and yeah. there's a scene before the orgasm where they give each other the two fingers through the glass.
Oh, that's right.
Really weird.
That's
right. That leads up to the orgasm, which is
right.
really weird.
Oh, boy.
But the video is Tracy Ullman, before she was Tracy Ullman,
yeah.
And before The Simpsons and all that, she had a singing career.
Yep.
And she had that hit in the 83, 84, I Don't Know About Love.
Yep, with McCartney.
Paul McCartney is in the end of it, driving the car weirdly, strangely.
Yep.
And she's walking through the grocery store in her slippers, and then Paul McCartney's in the car.
It's very strange.
Song. Very weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really great song, too. It is a really great song.
It's a very good song.
Yeah.
But then it was just kind of weird looking back and like,
there's Paul McCartney. There's Paul McCartney.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Gary. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right, we got a break here for weather and traffic, and we'll wrap up some of our conversation here about some of the classic music videos here. I got a list here in front of me, Esmeralda, of some of them that you'll obviously remember. So. Obviously. Yeah. Everybody leave the room. Rick James is having a moment. Now he's going to go busting into the room and push Eddie Murphy out of the way. Classic video. All right. One more call here real quick. Carl on WGN. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how's it going,
all
Nick?
Right. Yeah.
Hey, back in the day, I got some take on me. That broke some ground, didn't it?
Aha, Take on Me, one of the most groundbreaking videos in terms of animation ever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Still to this day, people remember that video. It's still, they still do parodies of it at this point, and that video is like 35 years old. And they still do parodies, 30 years old. And they still do parodies.
And I feel real old.
Yeah.
I'm your age, you know.
I know what you mean about feeling old. I do it every time I get out of bed, Carl. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, here are some of the ones that are on this list that we were just talking about off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash, Hurt,
which is
a great one.
That one's rough.
Boy, I'll tell you, man, some of the covers that Johnny Cash did in the last, like, three albums that he put together were amazing.
Yeah.
By the way, that video for Hurt also directed by Mark Romanek. That guy, him and David Fincher and Spike Jonze, I believe, were the three main dudes.
Yeah. What has he done movie-wise?
Mark Romanek.
Mm-hmm.
He did One Hour Photo.
Okay.
He did Static. Like I said, he just did two episodes. The most recent stuff he did two episodes of Vinyl on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember, I can't remember. He did one other movie. But, yeah, well, we all know what Fincher's gone on to do.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, and Spike Jonze, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Godley and Krem. Now, these guys started out as video directors. They were in a band called 10cc. 10cc did a song called Not in Love, but Don't Forget It. You don't know
No.
I'm Not in Love?
No.
You don't know I'm Not in Love?
No, when did that come out?
70s.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But, yeah, but it was a huge, huge song.
Nope.
I'm Not in Love?
Nope.
I played it. I believe we played it on Anti-Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Dan, you know I'm Not in Love, right? By 10cc.
I do know it. Yes.
Okay. I'm just surprised. I'm not saying. I mean, I'm surprised because it is one of those songs. It's one of those songs that you don't have to be older to remember.
Right.
Because it's a ubiquitous song. I think.
No, I just never.
Well, they were in this band called 10cc.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a few hits, Not in Love being the biggest. But then they went on to direct videos, the two British dudes who were in the band. They went on to direct videos, and they did some classic videos. They did Every Breath You Take.
Mm-hmm.
They did Rocket. They did Two Tribes by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. They did Girls on Film by Duran Duran. So they did some classic videos. And they did a video that they recorded as a song called Cry. And it is essentially... Okay, do you remember the black or white video by Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
And how at the end everybody's face is kind of morph,
mm-hmm.
you know, like he shakes his head and they changes into another person.
Yeah.
They did that 10 years earlier in this song called Cry. Godley and Krem did in this song called Cry. Black or White was directed by John Landis. This, mm-hmm. that one. But Cry was a black and white video, and it was just a close-up of people's faces singing and crying. And it used that technique that they used in Black or White to change everybody and meld them together. But it was first time used. It was in this video called Cry by Godley and Krem. It's a great video.
Yeah.
It's a great video. Don't Come Around Here No More by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
That is a great song.
I always enjoyed the fact that she turns into a cake at the end. And they cut her apart like Alice in Wonderland.
So messy.
They
by the way.
Yeah.
She's crumbs everywhere.
She's a messy cake. Run DMC Walk This Way was a legendary video.
I also like Hollis.
Well, please. Well, I mean, there's a million. I don't even want to get started on Run DMC. With Run DMC.
That little weird gremlin man.
Oh, yeah. No, there's so many. Run DMC had a million great videos, but the reason why they put this one on it was such a crossover.
Right, yeah.
You know, huge success. So, Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer.
Of course.
Which was one of those real groundbreakers. Andrea says Mexican Radio. When the face comes out of the bowl of baked beans.
See, I don't remember ever saying
that. I'm on a Mexican radio by Wall of Voodoo.
Yeah. No, I like that song.
708 says Peter Gabriel's video for Land of Confusion. No, 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 no. That's not Peter Gabriel. That's Genesis after Peter Gabriel left.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't put Peter Gabriel in that, please.
Those are some frightening puppets, though.
Well, that was from the Spitting Image puppets. They were a British group. It was a very popular political British show. Those puppets, mm-hmm. they did like a satire. And
oh, okay.
so they used those puppets. Genesis used those. It was not Peter Gabriel. Peter Gabriel.
Sucked in puppet faces.
Niedermeyer from Animal House was in the Beastie Boys, right? Fight for Your. No, he wasn't. Niedermeyer from Animal House, was in the Dee Snider videos, the Twisted Sister videos.
Yeah.
He was
in
Wanna Rock, and he said Beastie Boys Fight for Your Right to Party.
No,
that's just a group of people, and the Beastie Boys come in and bust up the house and throw stuff at people. That song rules, too, by the way.
You know who's in that video?
Who?
MTV news anchor.
Kurt Loder?
The redheaded one.
Tabitha Soren?
Tabitha Soren, yeah.
Tabitha Soren is? Oh, yes, she is in that video.
She is.
That's right. I totally forgot. How about George Michael, Sean from Wisconsin, George Michael's Faith? Please. Please. With his jacket and his butt and the guitar, please, and his boots and the jukebox. Don't even mess around with George Michael, man. you know, Eric has already seen Keanu. And he wasn't crazy about it. He said the first,
right, yeah,
so the first part
that.
Was great, and then it just kind of wears out its welcome. I, of course, think it's going to be the greatest film ever made. And he said, you know, by the he said by the 90th shot of the cat and the 50th George Michael reference, he was convinced that this movie by Key and Peele was made specifically for me and no one else. Because it's all George Michael and cat references and Key and Peele. Three of my favorite things in the world. 219 area code, Van Halen's Jump.
I mean, kicks alone.
Just for the high kicking.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, of that era, Van Halen, is Panama.
That's a good one, too.
Where, you know, the whole part where it goes, and all of a sudden a blow dryer comes out. Do you remember when?
I don't remember the blow dryer.
I'll have to remind you.